Well, good morning. Thanks for being with us today. We are in the book of Numbers. We'll be in chapters 28 and 29. Today is a long passage, but it seems as if it may be really repetitive and you may get lost in the weeds and say, why in the world are we reading this again? Haven't we done this before? But God is coming back to this idea. And I want to talk to you this morning about communion with God and being someone who has fellowship with the Lord. He has called us to that. He initiates that. And in this passage today, we see how he does it with Israel and that he also wants to do it with us as well. If you think about what is communion, if you think of it outside of the Lord's Supper, which we call communion often, what is communion in our everyday language? It is a coming together, a regular interaction. We commune with one another. We have fellowship with one another. We relate to one another. It's oftentimes a scheduled event where we have communion and fellowship. For example, we just had a major holiday last week. And I don't know about you, but our family got together with extended family and we had a time of fellowship, a time of hanging out and eating together and breaking eggs and watching children run after eggs and all that good stuff. And it was planned. It was planned communion. And God wants us to have planned times with Him, scheduled times with Him. And so we're going to see a schedule, if you will, of sacrifices that God is presenting to Israel that they should adhere to. Here, God is going to review the ritual calendar. In other words, He's going to remind Israel of which days were important for them to celebrate. And we'll talk about those in a moment. And He gives them scheduled times of communion for them to celebrate who He is with them. And they're going to do this through their sacrificial system. So what I'm going to read to you is a bunch of sacrifices and how they're supposed to be done and what they're supposed to look like. But there's a lot going on behind those sacrifices. And the reason God is instituting them is not just because God likes you to kill animals and burn meat. God wants you to have relationship with Him. So let's read. Like I said, it's a long passage. We'll be in chapters 28 and chapter 29. And it's the prescribed offerings that God has for Israel. Verse 1 says this, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Command the Israelites and say to them, be sure to present to me at its appointed time my offering and my food as my fire offering, a pleasing aroma to me, and say to them, this is the fire offering you are to present to the Lord. Each day present two unblemished young year-old male lambs as a regular burnt offering. Offer one lamb in the morning and one lamb at twilight, along with 2 quarts of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with 1 quart of olive oil from crushed olives. It is a regular burnt offering established at Mount Sinai for a pleasing offering of fire offering to the Lord. The drink offering is to be 1 quart with each lamb. Pour out the offering of beer to the Lord in the sanctuary area. Offer the second lamb at twilight along with the same kind of grain offering and drink offering as in the morning. It is a fire offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, present 2 unblemished year-old male lambs, 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering and its drink offering. It is a burnt offering for every Sabbath in addition to the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. At the beginning of each of your months, present a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs a year old, all unblemished, with 6 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each bull, 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for the ram, and 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb. It is a burnt offering, a pleasing aroma, a fire offering to the Lord. Their drink offerings are to be 2 quarts of wine with each bull, one and a third quarts with the ram, and one quart with each male lamb. This is the monthly burnt offering for all the months of the year. And one male goat is to be offered as a sin offering to the Lord in addition to the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. Verse 16, and the Passover to the Lord comes in the first month on the 14th day of the month. On the 15th day of the month, there is a festival. Unleavened bread is to be eaten for 7 days. On the first day, there is to be a sacred assembly. You are not to do any daily work. Present a fire offering, a burnt offering to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs a year old. Your animals are to be unblemished. The grain offering will, with them is to be a fine flour mixed with oil. Offer 6 quarts with each bull and 4 quarts with the ram. Offer 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs and a male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for yourselves. Offer these with the morning burnt offering that is part of the regular burnt offering. You are to offer the same food each day for 7 days as a fire offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It is to be offered with its drink offering and its regular burnt offering. On the 7th day, you are to hold a sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. On the day of first fruits, you are to hold a sacred assembly when you present an offering of new grain to the Lord at the festival of weeks. You are not to do any daily work. Present a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs a year old. With their grain offering, a fine flour mixed with oil, 6 quarts with each bull, 4 quarts with the ram, and 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs, and 1 male goat to make atonement for yourselves. Offer them with the drink offerings in addition to the regular burnt offering and its grain offering. Your animals are to be unblemished. Chapter 29. You are to hold a sacred assembly in the 7th month on the 1st day of the month, and you are not to do any daily work. This will be a day of joyful shouting for you. Offer a burnt offering as a pleasing aroma to the Lord, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 7 male lambs a year old, all unblemished, with your grain offering, a fine flour mixed with the oil, 6 quarts with the bull, 4 quarts with the ram, and 2 quarts with each of the 7 male lambs. Also, offer 1 male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for yourselves. These are in addition to the monthly and regular burnt offerings with their prescribed grain offerings and drink offerings. They are a pleasing aroma, a fire offering to the Lord. You are to hold a sacred assembly on the 10th day of the 7th month and practice self-denial. You are not to do any work. Present a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, a young bull, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs a year old. All your animals are to be unblemished. Their grain offering is to be a fine flour mixed with oil, 6 quarts with a bull, 4 quarts with a ram, 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs. Offer 1 male goat for a sin offering, the regular burnt offering with the grain offering and drink offerings, or in addition to the sin offering of atonement. You are to hold a sacred assembly on the 15th day of the 7th month. You are not to do any daily work. You are to celebrate a 7-day festival to the Lord. Present a burnt offering, a fire offering as a pleasing aroma to the Lord, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs a year old. They are to be unblemished. Their grain offering is to be fine flour mixed with oil, 6 quarts with each of the 13 bulls, 4 quarts with each of the 2 rams, and 2 quarts with each of the 14 lambs. Also offer 1 male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offerings with its grain and drink offerings. On the 2nd day, present 12 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs a year old, all unblemished, with the grain offering for its bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain and drink offerings. On the third day, present 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old, all unblemished, with the grain and drink offerings for the bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offerings with its grain and drink offerings. On the 14th day, present 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old, all unblemished, with the grain and drink offerings for the bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offerings with its grain and drink offerings. On the 5th day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old, all unblemished, with their grain and drink offerings for the bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain and drink offerings. On the 6th day, present 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old, all unblemished, with their grain and drink offerings for the bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offerings with its grain and drink offerings. On the 7th day, present 7 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs, a year old, all unblemished, with their grain and drink offerings for the bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain and drink offerings. On the 8th day, you are to hold a solemn assembly. You are not to do any daily work. Present a burnt offering, a fire offering, as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, a year old, all unblemished, with their grain and drink offerings for the bulls, rams, and lambs in proportion to their number. Also offer one male goat as a sin offering. These are in addition to the regular burnt offerings with its grain and drink offerings. You must offer these to the Lord at your appointed times in addition to the vow and freewill offerings, whether burnt, grain, drink, or fellowship offerings. So Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him. Whew, that's a lot of animals, huh? I think if you count them all up, it's over 1,300 animals that are sacrificed in this yearly process. And it's not, like I said, it's not just about animals dying and being put on an altar. It's not just about the fact that God likes barbecue, right? But it's the idea behind that. Why does God require offering? Why does God require this? Well, let's look at the fact that we are to have daily worship. And so he says, you're to take one lamb in the morning and one lamb at twilight in the evening, right before the sun goes down. And they are to sacrifice these. And so God is saying that worship is important. It talks about how it being a pleasing aroma and food for God. The picture that it has is that God is coming down to man and that he is having a meal with him. Even today, one of the most communal things that we can do, one of the ways we can show our desire to want to know someone or to hang out with someone is to do it over a meal. When you want to be with someone, you say, hey, let's go have lunch oftentimes. Or, hey, why don't you come to the house and let's have dinner together. And we do it around a table. We do it around a meal. And we spend time with one another based on that meal. And God is saying, look, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. And when you sacrifice these animals along with the drink offering and the grain offering, it's as if you and I are having a meal together. And so it's so much more than just a bunch of dead animals being put on a fire and having this wonderful smell of meat roasting. It's about God coming down and being with his people. And so God does this. He says, hey, I want to spend time with you. And so he says, for every day of the year, we're going to have a sacrifice in the morning and a sacrifice at twilight. I want to spend time with you every day, twice a day. God gives them this picture of being with him. Then he says, we're going to have a sacrifice in addition to those two lambs. We're going to have a sacrifice, an extra sacrifice on every Sabbath. So every seventh day of the week, God wants to have special time with them. And he says, not only that, not only on the Sabbath do we have a special sacrifice, but every new month, they were based on a lunar calendar, so every new moon, they would have a special sacrifice. God says, I want to spend time with you every day. I want to spend special time with you every seventh day. I want to spend special time with you on every month. And then he gives all of these different days that we call the liturgical calendar, or he gives them their special holidays when they are to have these special feasts. And at these special feasts, they are to do these special sacrifices, along with the one that happens in the morning and in the afternoon. So God doesn't replace the daily meals. He does more. So God doesn't say, give me a little bit of your time. He says, I want more of your time. I don't want to just have a little bit of fellowship with you. I want to have a lot of fellowship with you. I don't want to just spend a little bit of time with you. I want to spend a lot of time with you. And so the point that we're trying to make here is that God cares about daily worship, and that you can worship God, that you don't have to be here in this building, that we worship God daily. We spend time with him daily. We get in his word daily. We spend time in prayer daily. You may want to sing songs daily to him. You worship him by serving one another and by living out the commands he's given you daily. And by daily living with him and having communion with him, it's like having that meal with God. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. Jesus has done away with that in his sacrifice. But the idea behind it is that Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament. He isn't just wiping it off and saying, oh, you don't need that anymore. No, the Old Testament is foreshadowing what Jesus would do, and it's pointing forward to who Jesus is and what Jesus would do. And Jesus is saying, look, we can spend time all the time together. Because when you are a believer, the Spirit lives within you. And you can have time in communion with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit at any point in the day. So we should do it daily, but also we should do it weekly. Look around. There's plenty of room for lots of your friends and family to come weekly and to worship with you. Now, your weekly worship is going to look a little bit different than your daily worship, because your weekly worship is going to encompass a lot more people. You're going to be doing it together. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for God and for his glory. And so we come together and we worship him and we praise him and we sing songs to him and we listen to his word and we ingest his word and we look at how can we shape our lives compared to his word and let his word change us and transform us so that we can be more and more like him on those daily communion visits, those daily times with him. And then there are special holidays that you can get together. Now, as Baptists, we don't have a lot of special holidays as it comes to a liturgical calendar. We have Christmas and we have Easter. I think Catholicism or the Catholics do a lot better at having these liturgical celebrations. Like right now, we're actually in the season of Easter. And after Easter is Pentecost. And so 50 days after Easter or Passover is Pentecost and celebrating Christ coming and the church being formed and those things. And then Advent is a whole season of Christmas where there's this expectation of Jesus's coming and those things. And so I think some denominations do a better job than we do at celebrating these times of the year of expectation and relying on God and doing it as a yearly focus and a yearly rhythm within Christianity. But the thing is, we still do celebrate Easter together. Last week we celebrated Easter together, and we celebrate Christmas together. And so there are some special days within our lives, within our calendar, in which we celebrate who Jesus is. So we are to worship Him daily. We're to worship Him weekly. We're to worship Him at these special events and these special times. And so you may be wondering, okay, if Jesus institutes the new covenant and all of these sacrifices were the old covenant, what do they have to do with me? Well, I think it's important that we understand that worship is also a part of the new covenant and how we worship in the new covenant. And so the way we worship oftentimes, or we focus on worship, is through the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is not just a certain day of the week, but the Sabbath was instituted by God at creation. It was a day of rest. It was a day that God had looked at His creative power and His creative ability after He had created all things, and on the seventh day He rested, not because He needed a break, but because He needed to set an example, or wanted to set an example for you and us. And Sabbath is a time for us to worship and to rest. Many times we, as Americans, we work multiple jobs, and we don't take that time to rest. And God has created us with a need to rest and with a need to worship. And so I encourage you to Sabbath, to take a break, to rest, to do whatever you can at least one day a week and just not be involved with a lot of stuff. Because you are designed to need a break. You are designed to rest. And that may look different for some other people. It may be a nap for you, which I highly recommend. They're biblical. Jesus took naps. It could be putting your feet up. It could be reading a book. It could be whatever is restful for you, but you know what brings you rest. But it also involves worship. And so Israel, the Sabbath became an important day because it was also the day, or a day, in which they looked back at which God had freed them from slavery. That which God used His creative power and ability to say, you know what? In the different plagues, you see God's creativity, God's power displayed. And so God not only is creator and rested, but in the Sabbath, Israel looks back and says, man, look at God's creativity and His power at setting us free. And in the new covenant, while we're not Israelites and we don't look back at our ancestors being in bondage, we do look at ourselves being in bondage. We do look at the fact that we were people who were enslaved, that we were people who were in bondage to our sin, and that Jesus sets us free. And He does that by the power of the cross and the resurrection. The Sabbath, the day that we worship, is a day for us to have special time with Him and special communion with Him. And so Israel worshiped special days on the Sabbath. We come together on the Sabbath. Now, I know the Sabbath was technically on Saturday when the Jews did it, but Christians started to worship on the day that the Lord was raised. They call it the Lord's Day, and that's why we worship on Sunday. But it doesn't matter when you Sabbath, when you look at Jesus and His power and His glory and His honor. He still deserves worship. So all of these different sacrifices, show us that God deserves worship and that he deserves communion with you and that he wants communion with us. He wants fellowship with us. It's a couple of things I want to point out about the sacrifices, though. Notice that they were whole sacrifices. They weren't partial sacrifices. It wasn't just, you know, half of the lamb. It wasn't just, you know, a quarter of the bull. It was the whole thing. And so when it comes to worshiping God, we give him our all. We give him everything. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, we give our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's our whole body. We give him all we are as a sacrifice for him. I want to read a quote to you. It says this. It says, the Christian faith is a free gift that demands everything you have. The Christian faith is a free gift that demands everything you have. So many times we stop on it's a free gift. But it's a free gift with expectations. The expectations that we give God our all. So we give God everything we are. The sacrifices were whole. Our bodies are whole. And so we give him everything we have. The second thing I want you to see is that God is the one who sets the sacrifices in motion. He is the one who initiates the communion. He is the one who initiates the fellowship. God comes to Israel and says, hey, you do this and we will have fellowship together. The same thing in our lives. God is the one who initiates the relationship that we are to have with him. It's not us that are doing it, but it is him who's initiating and we are following along. And God, you look in the life of Jesus, there's very oftentimes, stuff happens around a meal. We're going to start in the book of Luke in a few weeks, and many of the stories are going to be centered around a meal that happened in Luke. In Jesus' ministry is filled with times when Jesus has a meal with someone and changes their lives. Jesus initiates. You think about the story of Zacchaeus when Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today. Zacchaeus didn't invite Jesus. Jesus said, I'm coming. Now, Zacchaeus was happy to have him. Zacchaeus could have said, no, you're not. He could have said, I got guards. I got people to keep you out. You're not coming to my house. But Jesus initiates coming because Jesus wants fellowship with Zacchaeus. Jesus wants fellowship with you. Jesus is initiating the relationship. Are you reciprocating? And because God likes meals and mealtimes, in the book of Revelation, there's this great feast that's described. When he calls his children home and it's the end of time and eternity is beginning, is described as the great marriage feast of the Lamb. The idea that it's a wedding banquet where there's going to be food and it's pictured as a feast and communion happens between God and his bride, the church. So how are you doing with your worship? How are you doing with your time with him? How are you doing with your fellowship and your communion with him? As I close, I want to give you some time to contemplate that, to think about that, to focus on that. Maybe you want to spend some time in prayer, thanking God for initiating the relationship. Maybe you want to spend some time in prayer asking God to renew the relationship. Maybe you want to spend some time in prayer asking for forgiveness for not making the relationship important enough. Father, as we look at the Old Testament and it talks about how all these sacrifices were like a sweet aroma to you, I pray that our time with you is just as sweet. That our time of fellowship, our time of communion, our time of meeting with you on a daily basis is a time that brings renewal to the relationship. And Father, I pray that as we get together with you on a weekly basis with other believers, that you would be honored and glorified in the songs we sing and the way we open up your word and study it. God, help us to apply it and be transformed by it. And Father, I pray that we would be mindful of these special times of the year. While Israel celebrated Passover and the weeks, the Feast of Booths or weeks, and the Yom Kippur and these Days of Atonement, we get to celebrate your birth and we get to celebrate your resurrection. And we get to celebrate the new birth that you give us. God, I pray that you be glorified by our lives, that we would seek communion with you and we would reciprocate what it is that you started in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.